Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
We were Thursday night to record this, so a couple of days before Jack State comes back home for the last time, for the last two times, I guess, as they'll have FIU this week and then Sam Houston next week. So excited for those two games. We'll get into all the FIU information here in just a minute. But real quick, Brooks, I know you got one more shout out to do before we get started, and then we'll get going.
Yeah, I just wanted to say real quick, thank you again to everybody who entered our 25th episode giveaway contest that we did last week. I thought it was a great success. Got a lot of really good engagement, good exposure for the podcast. And I had the pleasure of meeting our winner yesterday, David Belcher. Met him to give him his prize of two free tickets to the Sam Houston State game and a lovely new AKC hat. Really nice guy. It was a pleasure to meet him and get to talk Jack State football and college football in general for a good little while yesterday. So I just wanted to say congratulations again, David, and thank you to everyone who entered. And we'll definitely do some more stuff like that again in the future. Excited to see what kind of ideas we come up with. But yeah, it's FIU week. One of our last two home games, taking on the Golden Panthers this week. Drew, how you feeling about this game? I'll let you start.
I feel good. Now, I felt good last week about our game against Louisiana Tech, and they did win. That's not, you know, mince words here, but should they have won is a better question to ask about last week. But either way, we're going to put that in the win column and move on. FIU 3-6, similar team to what we saw last week against Louisiana Tech, at least from a record standpoint. They're 2-3 in conference. They're a top 100 offense and a top 100 defense, so they're putting up 24.9 points per game, and they're giving up 24.9 points per game. So identical as far as how much they've scored and how much they've allowed, which is not a great recipe for success, as cool as that is. They are in the bottom 120 in strength of schedule and strength of record, much like a lot of the teams in the conference, just due to the competition within the conference with teams, you know, like Kennesaw and Mexico State and that kind of thing. But they're the biggest playmakers going to be the quarterback, Keon Jenkins. He's thrown it for over 1,700 yards this year, which I believe is second in the conference behind Veltkamp and a kid from Middle Tennessee State, who I'll think of his name in a minute. But either way, he's thrown 14 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. Yeah, Nick Vadiato will be the leader, and then Veltkamp after that. Anyway, Jenkins has thrown 14 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, so not a big turnover problem for him. His big issue is he's not going to run it at all, really. He's got less than 100 yards on the ground this year, so he's a little bit one-dimensional back there, at least for a college quarterback. They've got a two-horse or two-headed monster in the backfield with Kajon Owens and Lexington Joseph. You should see both of those guys get carries in this game. Owens has 350 yards on the year. Lexington Joseph has 270, but they're both carrying it for 4.1 yards per carry. So pretty similar running backs there. But the reason you're going to see Owens more is he's got 82 receiving yards, while Lexington Joseph only has 21. Not either one of those numbers jump off the page as far as they're catching a bunch of passes, but at least Owens has taken his passes. He's averaged about 10 yards a catch. So when he does catch it, he's usually pretty good. And then your receivers will be Dean Patterson. He's got over 400 yards receiving. And we're going to call him Mr. Burris for right now, so I don't have to pronounce his first name because it's not going to be correct. He's got 209, and then Eric Rivers will be their leader with 43 catches for 876 yards and 8 touchdowns. So the Keon Jenkins to Eric Rivers connection was going to be the one to watch out for, even more so than those two running backs we talked about earlier. And then as far as their defense goes, like we said, they're giving up about 25 a game. With the competitions they have played, I would expect Jack State to look much better. I know they put up 44 points last week, but there were times where the offense seemed to struggle against that that Bulldog front seven. So expect Jacksonville State's offense to look a little more like they did the previous five games before Louisiana Tech than they did against the Bulldogs there. Being at home helps too. But the biggest thing that FAU is going to have going for them is they were off last week. I know it's on the road, which is a big help for Jack State. But FIU with a bye week, is not a team you can sleep through and win. They kind of did that last week and beat Louisiana Tech on a Hail Mary or in overtime after the Hail Mary. But if they play the same way they did against Louisiana Tech against FIU, they're going to have another close game. And this is a team that we're going to get in all this later. It has a completely open path to a conference title game. And this game, you'll see later, actually doesn't matter as far as a conference title game for Jack State. But you don't want to drop one at home, showing up unprepared against a team who's had, 14 days to prepare for you. Should be a fun game, but I expect Jack State to wear them down over the course of four quarters and come by with a win, even with FIU having that bye week. But Brooks, what are your Golden Panther thoughts?
Yeah, I think, I've said this a couple times on past episodes that, this is not a team to take lightly. And this is a team, this is by no means a bad football team, I don't believe. They're not necessarily what their record says. Their record says they are, gives off the impression that they are. Yes, they're 3-6, but you look at some of these games and the final scores. The only real bad losses were at Indiana, and at UTEP is considered a bad loss. But that game was a 9-point loss. Sam Houston was only by 3. Monmouth, it was a very bad loss to a probably a mid-tier FCS team, but lost that game only by 3. I think there's a lot of games, or I think, if they could go back and play those games over, they certainly looked a lot more comfortable and a lot more complete against New Mexico State last week. I think that look at that game real quick. But I think that they could go back and put together a game like they had against the Aggies. New Mexico State obviously is, by no means a by no means the best team in the conference. But I'm just gonna pull up those numbers real quick from that game. Here they are. Jenkins was 18-27 for 338 yards and 4 touchdowns. Not a whole lot in the running game there. Kajon Owens only had 39 yards, and Keon Jenkins had 27 on the ground. But the second leading running back was Shamari Lawrence with only 17 yards. So, Drew went through the full stats a minute ago, and I wouldn't officially call them a air raid offense, but they certainly favor one. Eric Rivers had 11 catches for 295 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, just ridiculous stuff from Jenkins and Rivers in the passing game. So, and the defense was pretty solid. And let's see, had 2 sacks and and 2 interceptions. They're getting stopped. They looked a whole lot more complete against the Aggies. And I think if they could go back and, have that performance that they had against New Mexico State against some of these other schools that they lost close to UTEP, Monmouth, even Sam Houston, I think that they win them again. I think that they win them. And, we're talking about this could be, a completely different conference, championship picture as we come down to the wire, and we'll get into those scenarios here in a little bit. But we've got that huge game next week with Sam Houston coming up, and that's pretty much going to decide our season. This is a game that we certainly cannot get caught looking ahead in. I think that, you know, Florida International is more than capable of beating us. And the way our defensive backs looked against Louisiana Tech, they're very liable to tear up to run up and down the field through the air on us if we can't tighten up coverage a little bit. So this is going to be a game that I'm going to expect our senior, our leaders in the, our leaders in the defensive backfield really step up. Fred Perry, Antonio Carter, Jameer Latimer, and list goes on, to really step up and have a big game. I think we're going to be able to keep the pressure on Jenkins pretty good. He's not a real mobile quarterback, like you said. So I like J-Rock and Kywan McCray and Juwan Campbell, some of these guys to really get to him. But I think it's gonna, if we can't get to him enough time, we give him time to throw, it's liable to be a long day on defense. I think we're gonna score on him. This is not a bad defense by any means. But I think we're gonna be able to move the ball enough to keep him honest. It's gonna be, it'll probably be a little bit similar to last week against Louisiana Tech when we had to, when Huff threw it. We had to see Huff throw a little bit more than what we're used to. But I certainly expect us to keep feeding Trey Stewart the ball 20, 25 times. Maybe get Andrew Paul in the mix a little bit. But offense, I for the most part, I expect it to be business as normal. But we are going to have to step up in the defensive backfield. I think that's going to be the determining factor in this game.
I agree completely. I think, and that goes not just for the defensive backfield, but goes for the whole defense. I think, where we saw this defense at times last week, getting beat by the pass and that kind of thing was reminded us a lot of the first half against, Eastern Michigan, when they couldn't knock down a pass to save their lives. So expect hopefully a elevated performance from the secondary, but that goes full defense also. If you can get pressure on Keon Jenkins, that goes a long way to help out your secondary. And this defense is going to have to play better to beat West Kentucky, because they're going to stand back there and let Veltkamp throw the ball 40, 45 times. And if they can't get pressure on Veltkamp and can't get themselves in position to knock passes down, they're going to have a hard time beating the Hilltoppers, and they're probably going to have to beat them twice. Or at least beat them, the second time if they want to win the conference title game. Real quick, I did want to highlight Travion Burns, the FIU's best defensive player. He's got 15 more tackles than anybody else on the team, and he's got 3 sacks and an interception. So he does a little bit of everything for that defense. And that was an 85-yard pick six, his interception was. So he'll be the best Panther defensively. Their sack leader is Keegan Davis with 3.5 sacks. And don't forget that Morvin Joseph, who's playing a second string defensive line for Jack State, was an FIU transfer. So it'll be or maybe he was an FAU transfer, so maybe not. But I was going to say maybe kind of a homecoming kind of thing, but I think he was an FAU transfer, which is like the same school for those who don't know. Don't worry about all that. Either way, Travion Burns will be the best Golden Panther defender to watch out for. No one in the secondary jumps out a ton. No one with multiple interceptions except for, well, I guess JoJo Evans has 2. He'll be their best defensive back there, it seems like. At least he has the most tackles and interceptions of any defensive back for FIU, so he'll be the one to watch out for in the backfield there for the Panther defense. But beyond that, like we said, hopefully this offense gets back to what we saw them look like during that, the first 5 games of this win streak, instead of, that second half against Louisiana Tech where they struggled to move the ball so much. But either way, certainly expect Jack State to win, a game they should win. Like we said, this could be a trap game if they don't show up prepared. But I think this defense hopefully learned something from last week as far as you can't sleepwalk through the conference schedule and expect to show up and play for a conference title game. And I think they got to learn that last week and still win, which is the best way to learn any lesson when you don't get hurt. So beyond that, we'll take a look real quick at the conference slate, and then we'll jump in to some conference title game situations as far as what could affect Jack State and that kind of thing. Liberty goes on the road to UMass. Really weird late season road at a conference game for Liberty. UMass not a very good team. They're 2-7, so would think Liberty will go down there and take, you know, care of business. We also thought that against Kennesaw, so who knows? Anything's possible. But anyway, weird game late in the season for Liberty. Louisiana Tech goes to Western Kentucky. So that'll be, like we said, a correlation of where Western is compared to Jack State. If Louisiana Tech can play with Western, I think that's a good thing. And then Sam Houston goes to Kennesaw. That will be the last conference game there. And then New Mexico State goes to Texas A&M in College Station tomorrow night, or Saturday night. So we're not probably going to see a single play of that one unless New Mexico State goes and shocks the world. But no huge conference games, only two or three full conference games as far as we'll have conference title game impacts being, you know, the Western game, Jack State, and Sam Houston. And of those three teams, Western, Jack State, Sam Houston, all three of those teams should handle the games this week. Now, we've seen, you know, shockers in the past with Kennesaw and Liberty or that kind of thing. But I would imagine that Sam Houston, JSU, and Western take care of business this week. And then that round robin, the last 2 weeks of the year, will finally kick off. We've talked about it for, you know, months at this point, that the conference outlook will be decided the last 2 weeks. And as long as Western and JSU and Sammy take care of business, that's what's going to happen. But Brooks, what are your any games that you're looking for this week in the conference, or just teams going to get by and wait for next week?
The Liberty and UMass game, UMass is hot dog water. I fully expect this is one that I know we said expected the same thing against Kennesaw, but Liberty's going to go to UMass and take care of business. I'm not super stressed about that game. And then same thing with A&M and New Mexico State at Kyle Field. But I think I am going to pay a little bit close attention to Louisiana Tech and Sam Houston and Kennesaw, because I'm interested to see what kind of fight that La Tech gives Western Kentucky in Bowling Green. You know, Cade Veldkamp, yes, is having this absolutely phenomenal year, coming in as, you know, wasn't really expected to be the starter, and then just blowing everybody away, almost 2,000 passing yards on the year and 19 touchdowns. But Louisiana Tech, as we have seen as of 5 days ago, has been is a very tough football team. And they're another one that, you know, I don't think necessarily, you know, similar to FIU, I don't think their record necessarily shows who they are, or is a good representation of who they are. Every loss that they have on their schedule has been by 10 points or less. They were even, probably could have beat Tulsa. Tulsa was 23-20, FIU 17-10, New Mexico State 33-30, Sam Houston 9-3, and Jack State 44-37. And we needed a Hail Mary and overtime to get out of that game. And even NC State, they lost 30-20, but they led, I think they led that game for 3 out of 4 quarters. It wasn't until right at the very end. Because it was 14-20. It was 20. Yeah, it was 20-20. It was 20-20 going in the fourth quarter. And so I think that Louisiana Tech, obviously, as we have seen, a very scrappy football team. And I think they can make things very difficult for Western, even though it is in Bowling Green. So I'm going to be paying close attention to that game. And I'm going to pay close attention to Sam Houston and Kennesaw, because on paper, Sam Houston should go in and wipe the floor with Kennesaw, even though it's in Kennesaw. Not that that's really had any effect on anything, but neither here nor there. But I'm going to be interested to see what Hunter Watson does. Is this going to be the Hunter Watson that we saw up until his injury against Western Kentucky, or is this going to be the Hunter Watson that we saw 2 weeks ago against, who was it that played? Against Louisiana Tech. This will be his first. They had an off week last week, so this will be his first game since then. Last game is against the Bulldogs, 14-22, for 146 yards and a pick, and nothing really on the ground. So was he coming off an injury? Yes, absolutely. He's banged up, but what we've seen out of him from the rest of the season has been pretty good. 1,133 yards and 9 touchdowns, but he does have the 6 interceptions, only a three play difference. So I'm going to be interested to see what he does in this game before he comes to Jacksonville next week. I think this game will give us a really good idea as to, and really the Sam Houston defense too. I'm going to be interested to see. This will be a good preview game to give us a good idea of what to expect before they come to Jacksonville next week. Again, that game really going to decide our season, even regardless of what happens against FIU on Saturday. Well, wouldn't you think, Drew?
Yeah, I'm glad a good transition there for our final segment, but the conference title outlook for Jacksonville State couldn't be more black and white. If they beat Sam Houston, they are in, regardless of what they do against FIU or Western Kentucky. Now, you don't want to lose 2 conference games just because you can, but if they beat Sam Houston a week from this Saturday, they are in no matter what. Obviously, if they were to lose to FIU and Western, they would have 2 conference losses, but so would Sam Houston and so would Liberty, and they have the tiebreaker over both of those teams. So Jack State's is extremely black and white. Beat Sam Houston and you're in. Western Kentucky's is the same way. If they went out, they're in. They could even drop the game to Jack State, as long as Jack State were to beat Sam Houston, and Western would have 1 conference loss, and everybody else would have 2 besides Jack State. So same for Western. Win out, they can lose 1 conference game, and they're in no matter what. And then for Liberty and Sam Houston, there's a lot more moving pieces with it. If Liberty wins out, they would have beaten Western Kentucky, and they would need Sam Houston to drop at least 1 game, maybe 2. They would need Jack State to drop at least, I need Jack State to drop all 3. But if Liberty were to win out and Jack State beats Western Kentucky, that'd give Western 2 losses, and Liberty would get in there also. Kind of the same idea with Sam Houston. Sam Houston really needs to win out. They're just not in a good position to lose to Jack State and still get in with that loss to Western. So, for right now, Liberty, Jack State, and Western probably have the easiest 3 passes or 3 paths. I know that seems weird with Sam Houston having only 1 conference loss and Liberty having 2, but we're kind of assuming in all this equation that Jack State's going to beat Sam Houston, in which case Liberty would have an advantage because they'll get to play Western Kentucky and have a head to head over them, which would be a big deal for them trying to get in. But it's pretty wide open for Jack State and Western. I think those are the 2 teams that should get in, and for Jack State, you beat Sam Houston next Saturday and forget about everything else because it doesn't quite honestly matter. Then you can real quick the benefits of Jack State beating Sam Houston next week and locking themselves in would be huge, knowing that you're going to go to Western Kentucky the last week of the season and probably see them a second time. So that gives you an extra week to prepare for Western Kentucky because in all reality, that first meeting with Western wouldn't really mean anything except for who's going to host a conference title game if Western were to win out until that last week of the season. Now, it would be great for Jackson to host the title game, but you do guarantee yourselves 2 shots at Western if you were to beat Sam Houston next week. Unless really weird things happen and Western starts dropping conference games left and right, which neither one of us thinks is going to happen. But scenarios are all over the place for Sam Houston and Liberty to get in. But for your two best teams in your conference, it's wide open. Win out and you're in. I know they play each other the last game of the season, but if Jack State and Western win out until that game, then all that game is going to do is decide who hosts the title game. It won't have any implication over who plays in it, if that makes any kind of sense. Brooks, any thoughts on that stuff? I know that's a lot of that's a whole lot of moving pieces for right now.
Yeah, it is, and you know, we were kind of talking about it before we got started recording, and once I remembered, you know, Liberty's really not out of it. We kind of wrote them off after we beat them in Lynchburg, but with, you know, talking it over and realizing no, they're not out of it. Introducing them back into the equation kind of hurt my brain, because you know, like I said, we kind of wrote them off, and we thought, all right, this kind of narrows it down to Sam Houston and Jack State, or Sam Houston and Western Kentucky. So, lost you there for a second. Anyways, now that it, you know, you said us and Western really have the most clear and concise. If we both, if we both went out, then you know we're both in the conference championship. But I really think it's going to be the two most clear and concise is really us and Liberty, because you know we've said on a couple previous episodes, these last 2 weeks are going to be kind of a round robin. Yes, Sam Houston's already played Western, but these last 2 weeks are going to be kind of a round robin with us, Sam Houston, Liberty, and Western. In deciding who plays in the conference championship. Now, you know, like I said, it really, regardless of this FIU game, if we beat Sam Houston, we're in the conference championship game no matter what, because you know, only having the one conference loss, that'll give Sam Houston two, that'll knock them out effectively. Having the head to head over them. Liberty winning out and us winning out would mean Western Kentucky's got two conference losses last two games of the year. That's who Liberty plays Western next week, and of course we play Sam Houston. So if Liberty wins out and we win out, Western's done. I don't think this will happen because I believe that game might be in Lynchburg. Get up real quick. Yeah, it is in Lynchburg. Okay, so that'll be a little bit of an advantage for Liberty, especially if they can have a good performance this week, a really good performance to build on this week and get out of it healthy against UMass. So I was going to bring this up to you. Would you rather play? I think I would, and especially getting to play him again. In Jacksonville, after, you know, we got a good, I know it's hard to beat somebody twice, but would you rather play Liberty than Western?
Yes. Just due to the fact that Jack State has struggled at times against the pass this year, and Western is going to throw it and throw it some more. And Jack State does, it seems, much better against the run. And I think Jack State matches up really good against Liberty. I think we saw that, you know, on the road in Lynchburg in a hostile environment. They won by 10 points. They should have won that game by more than 10 points. There were times where they had the ability to go take a 2 or 3 score lead and didn't quite get it done. But yeah, I would much rather play Liberty than Western Kentucky. It's just, I don't believe in Liberty to beat Western. I know that's at home for Liberty, which will help. And Liberty looked good against the pass against JSU. I know we're not throwing the ball at, you know, nearly at the same, not really as prolific as what Western is throwing the ball. So I don't know if you can draw a whole lot of parallels from that. To answer your question, I would
10 times, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Huff threw it easy. It was 6 out of 10 for, you know, 6 out of 10 for like 60 yards or something. Like, they didn't even try, yeah. But try to throw it. But yeah, to answer your question, I would rather play Liberty. It's just going to be, it's just tough to imagine a scenario where that works. I know If Jack State, you know, were to beat Sam Houston and Western Kentucky and Liberty wins out, then yeah, Liberty's in because Western's going to have two losses, one to Jack State, one to Liberty. So they'd be out on the tiebreaker there. Sam Houston's out on the tiebreaker because they lost to Western and Jack State. And then surprise, surprise, the Flames are back again. So that's an option. I mean, that's a realistic scenario there that we've got broken down, but I just don't trust the Reedy to get it done against Western to make that a reality, but I'm all for it for sure.
Yeah. I think it's probably the least likely option because Sam Houston's still got to play Liberty too. We'll get a pretty good idea of what Sam Houston's going to look like this week. And then obviously when they come to town next week against us, but looking it over, I got a little, as of right now, I got a little in the game, the last two games that they, based on the last two games that they played, I got a little bit more confidence in Liberty to beat Sam Houston. But I don't know. I don't think it being in Lynchburg plays in a little bit of advantage, and you know we really didn't get just a really good look at how Jackson, you know, how Liberty defends against the pass. You know, only throwing it 10 balls and or 10 times, and Western's going to come in and try and throw it all over the field. If they can defend the pass, decent, I think that Liberty's going to have a pretty good shot. It's just being able to get into Veldt camp and, you know, play tight coverage or play smart coverage anyways. But yeah, I think it's the least, probably the least likely scenario, but it's certainly my most preferred scenario. I would love to. I know it's hard to beat somebody twice. Washington beat Oregon twice last year, en route to a national championship appearance. But before them, I don't know the last time I saw somebody, play the same team twice in a year and win twice, before that game. So, I would love to have play them at our stadium. And, you know, knowing what we did well against them, I think we're going to pound the rock with Trey Stewart again against them and probably be even more dominating than he was before. You know, I know they'll be more than capable of making adjustments against them, but I would love nothing more than to play Liberty at home. So I'm personally going to be pulling for them the rest of the season, but now if we don't beat Western, it doesn't necessarily matter, but
yeah, it all's going to hinge on those last 2 weeks, like we said, and Liberty needs to be, you know, Jack State fans against Western Kentucky, because if they went out, then they're going to have Jack State go beat Western and Bowling Green, and that'll lock Liberty in, which would be like we said, our preferred scenario there. But beyond all the conference title stuff, because Jack State's path, they've done such a good job in conference play this year that their path is the easiest to pick out. You beat Sam Houston and you're in. Jack State needs to win the last four games of the year. They need to go beat FIU, beat Sam Houston, beat Western, and beat whoever they're going to play in the conference title game, whether that's at home or on the road in Bowling Green. And if you finish 10-3, which I guess if they were to win out, the title game would be at home. So either way, you have that. But if they finish 10-3, just sit back and let the chips fall as far as you're going to play in a bowl game. Because first of all, if they finish 10-3, they're going to be ranked. At least I believe they're going to be ranked if they're 10-3.
I think so.
Because they would have won 10 straight. It's not like they won four and dropped one, and won four and dropped one, and you know, won two and dropped one, where you're not going to get ranked doing things like that. But if you rattle off 10 straight playing against high school opponents, you're a really good football team. So, Let them win 10 straight, and I'm not saying they're going to the playoff or anything because they've already lost three games, and I think that's dead and in the water, obviously. But, you know, Brooks has got some bowls. Kind of we've got predictions as far as, you know, going to Honolulu or back to New Orleans or to Mobile or Orlando or whatnot. But, I mean, I think you finish 10-3 and you're ranked 25th in the country or 24th in the country. You might find yourself in a something you're not expecting, along the lines of an Alamo or something like that. So finish out 10-3 and see where the chips fall. I mean, quite honestly, if you finish 10-3, you could not have played better football after the first 3 weeks of the year, which if you would have told me this team had the ability to go 10-3 after they lost the first three, I wouldn't have believed you. So just the progress this team has made has been amazing for the most part. So hopefully they'll continue their run. But what I would like to see now is see if they can win a conference title game, and then let's see where the chips fall as far as where our postseason action is going to be.
Yeah. Al Davis, just win. Just win, baby. You know, we take care of business against, you know, these next 3 to 4 games, and it's going to be, you know, we may get a really good bowl. I think we'll certainly be ranked, maybe get that 25th, 24th spot in the going into bowl season, but certainly in the final playoff, final poll if we can win. But I wish so bad we could go back and play that the Eastern game and Eastern Michigan game and even Coastal again. I think we'd take care of business against Coastal 2 day, or at least go back until Rod Smith. You got the ball on the goal line. Get the ball from under. Let Huff take the ball from under center. Don't line up in shotgun. Get up under center and have a clean handoff. God.
Yeah.
But
we may live in a world to where a bad snap and Jack State sleepwalking through week one gonna keep them out of the playoff picture, quite honestly. I mean, I know Boise State's kind of far and away the option now, but I mean, they lose a game or two, and you know, a team like Lafayette loses a game or two. You know, and an 11-1 or 12-1 Jack State team would certainly get some consideration. So that Eastern Michigan game, even a 11-2 Jack State team might get consideration if they've started blowing teams out of the water like they have after those first two games. So we're going to look back on the season when it's all over with, and you know, I'm not saying they're going to win out and win the last four. I would think they should do that, or I think they're capable of doing that. But if they do win out and win their last four, you're going to look back at the Eastern game and be like, what could have been? You know, if they were to beat Eastern and you know, finished, you know, win their last four here, they would be what, 11-2 and a conference champion. You're telling me an 11-2 conference champion is not going to get consideration for a playoff spot if Boise were to lose. So that's going to hurt if that scenario comes into play. But I guess we'll see as the season goes on.
Yeah, it's just, you know, like you said, you know, looking back at that Eastern game and even Coastal, and those being, you know, a bad snap and, you know, just a unprepared, what to look like anyways, an unprepared performance against a decent Coastal Carolina, what ended up being a decent Coastal Carolina a team. Like I said, I think if we go back and play those games again today, then, you know, we're like you said, you know, Boise drops another game, then, you know, it's wide open to get that 12 spot. You know, us, Tulane, Louisiana are all fighting to get that 12th seed. And you know, a lot of people think, you know, Jacksonville State being in the playoff, oh no, come on. What are we talking about here? But it would have been a very real possibility. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. And that's assuming we do beat Sam Houston at Western. I'd certainly like our chances, but you know, I think if we do finish the season the way we want to, with, you know, beating the top two teams in the conference or top other two teams in the conference, and you know, end up going to, you know, a decent bowl, you know, Rich Rod's just going to be laying awake every night, you know, thinking what could have been. And a lot of Jack State fans too, and it's just that's going to be, you know, conference championship is ultimately the, you know, the goal, and you know, obviously the biggest season, probably second biggest season in Jack State history. It's just going to be, like I said, it's going to be one of those what could have been. So,
yeah, I worry more about if Jack State finishes 10-3, what the West Virginia athletic director is going to be laying in his bed too, thinking at night. But that is a conversation for a different day, because Neil Brown is going to be out at West Virginia at the season's end. And I think the only way Rich Rod would leave Jack State, if those who don't know, Rich Rod's 60-something years old. I'm not sure exactly, but I think the only way he would ever leave Jack State is to go coach West Virginia again. And quite honestly, what's stopping them from offering him the job at the season's end at this point? You know, maybe they'll look at him and say, you know, he's too old. We want someone around for the long haul. But A, Rich Rod's in excellent shape. B, if those who don't know, Rich Rod went to West Virginia, played there, and has already coached that program. And he's their most successful coach in program history, maybe not from a win standpoint, but they were they had to beat a horrible Pitt team to go to the national championship game and just laid an egg. So that's a conversation for another day, but I don't know. We'll hopefully not have to cross that bridge, but that seems to be a likely scenario at season's end when West Virginia, I believe, would show Neil Brown the door.
And I know Rich Rod in West Virginia, I don't believe they ended on very good terms at the end of his time in Morgantown. But if you don't think that West Virginia won't try and bring him back, if we do win a conference championship this year, go look at Arkansas and Bobby Petrino. Just left them in absolute shambles, and now he's their offensive coordinator. And if Sam Pittman, if Arkansas didn't finish the season, they'll probably end up finishing the season 7-5 or so. If they didn't end up finishing with a decent season, you're probably looking at him being the head coach of Arkansas again next year. I think, anyways, that's just my opinion, but. You know, desperate times call for desperate measures, and West Virginia is certainly in that situation, I think. But I don't know, I said, absolutely. We're going to have a whole other conversation about that probably at the end of the season.
Yeah, we've heard no murmurings of that, by the way. This is complete conjecture for those who are listening. We've heard nothing from anybody about that. It's just Rich Rod's been around the sport for so long and that kind of thing. And, you know, we've seen how this sport can go at times. It's just that's something that's been on our back of our mind at some point is, you know, West Virginia not doing real hot. Rich Rod's doing an unbelievable job at Jack State. What's going to stop West Virginia from buying out his contract and taking him away from us if he wants to go? But either way, like we said, hopefully that's not a bridge we'll have to cross, at least anytime soon. But, for right now, that'll do it. We'll wrap it up here for the Florida International preview. This game not at Pitt Bowl Stadium, which it saddens me that I cannot say that Jack State's going to Pitt Bowl Stadium. But next year, I will be able to say that. So I'm really happy about that. I'll be looking. That one's marked on my calendar. Maybe we'll even go to Pitt Bowl Stadium next year. Who knows, Mr. Worldwide and all. But once again, if we made it this far, thanks for listening. Go find us on Twitter. We've gotten just really, really good interaction there on Twitter. We've had it good interaction for a long time, but especially good interaction the last couple of weeks. So really, really proud of that. And hopefully we'll continue on throughout the end of the year and into the off season. I know we've got we haven't talked about it much, but we've got a file going of Jack State recruits and who they've offered so far. Now we're not hitting or hearing a lot of, you know, commitments yet this far before signing day, but we do have kind of a list of who we know Jack State has offered and that kind of thing. So we'll go through that at some point in the offseason with you guys, probably before signing day, that we can kind of get a list of, you know, who our possible recruits will be before we get the actual list. Cause last year we didn't start until after the signing day had already ended. So we just kind of went back through and with some of the names, but this year we'll be able to actually go through, you know, who the possibilities are versus who the actual commitments are, which is really nice. So we'll have that in episodes going forward. But for right now, we're solely focused on the end of the year, getting his team into a conference title game and hopefully winning a conference title game. But like we normally do, Brooks will outro us here, and we'll see y'all on Monday, hopefully for another victory podcast.
Yep. Like I said, this is not a team that we should take lightly by any stretch of the imagination. I said on a couple podcasts ago, they're a lot like Sam Houston State last year. You know, they're five or six plays away from being, you know, probably about 7-2, give or take. And they, if you look at that 3-6 and say, oh, we're going to take care of business, you know, we're going to take care of business and beat them, you know, 59-0, whatever. That ain't going to happen this game, I don't think. I think it could happen. I think we're more than capable of like letting it happen, but I don't think it will. This is not a game to take lightly. We have to, offense has to be firing on all cylinders, and defensive backfield has to really step it up. I really expect them to. I think last week's game against Louisiana Tech kind of put the fear of God in them. Or at least I certainly hope it did. So it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, we'll talk to y'all. Should probably Sunday, Monday night. Hopefully, about another Gamecock victory going into the most important week of the season. So we'll see y'all then.